consists of two psukim. Even though there are other short prakim in Tanakh, I can't say there are no other prakim that are of a similar nature, but this is probably the shortest parak in Tanakh. And it's a parak which is well known. It's also part of the Hallel. There's a machlokis among the Rishonim, among the Parshani HaMikra, what exactly the parak is referring to. So perhaps I'll first begin with the Radak. The Radak here in his Perush.
One of these?
Yeah. And the Gemara Masechet. The Radak here in his Perush, let's just read it. Hallelu is Hashem kol goyim, shabchuhu kol ha'umim. Literally translated as, the goyim should give Hallel, should sing the praises of Hashem. The umim, that also are the nations, these are two terms that are clearly synonymous, although there are distinctions between them, as we'll see in a moment. Shavchu kol umim, they also should say shevach to Hashem Yisbarach. And the reason that's given is obviously formulated utilizing the word ki, and of course the difficulty is pretty obvious. Ki gavar aleinu chasdo. Now there are two different translations in Rishonim how to translate this pasuk, ki gavar aleinu chasdo. The simple pshat, that aleinu refers to whom? Aleinu refers to Klal Yisrael. Because Hashem Yisbarach vouchsafed to us chesed in bountiful terms. The chesed of Hashem was presented to us in largesse, with beneficence. Ki gavar aleinu chasdo, so somehow that's the reason why they should say Shevach and Hallel to Hashem, which of course is seemingly quite difficult. Since they're not the recipients of this chesed, we are the recipients of that chesed, why should they be obligated to go ahead and say Hallel and Shevach to Hashem? And it ends, Ve'emes Hashem li'olam halleluka. That the emes is with Hashem, halleluka. So what I would like to do is twofold. Number one, I'm going to first share with you the Radak, his explanation of this particular parak, and then we will look at the Gemara Masechet, and then we'll try to examine the matter from an overall perspective. First, I'll read the Radak. The Radak says here, "Halavas Hashem kol goyim shalchu kol ha'umim." He points out right away that this mizmor consists of two psukim. "V'hu mizmor limos ha'mashiach." This is a messianic mizmor, and the reason why the parak is written dafka in two psukim, says the Radak, is because essentially the parak wants to contrast the goyim with Klal Yisrael. You have a Chazal, if you recall, with Avraham Avinu. Chazal say, "Hu me'eber echad, v'kol olam kulam me'eber hasheni." And the Radak here expresses a similar idea. The Radak writes, "Ki kol ha'amim yu l'shnei abarim." That what's going to be l'asid lavo, the contrast between, shall we say, Klal Yisrael and Umos Ha'olam that exists at this point in time. Namely, what is the contrast? He writes, Yisrael b'torasam, v'kol ha'umos le'eber achir b'shem ha'mitzos. The non-Jewish world, as you know, is obligated in Shev Mitzvah B'nei Noach. We are obligated in Tayag Mitzvahs. Rav Soloveitchik was very fond of saying, he used to contrast actually the Gemara Megillah, the Gemara that speaks about a distinction between Tashmisha Mitzvah and Tashmisha Kedusha. The Gemara says that there are two different types of Chafotzin. One is called Tashmisha Mitzvah, namely a Lulav and Esrog, Ner Chanukah, and the other is a Shofar, and the other is Tashmisha Kedusha, something that inherently has Kedusha, inherently has sanctity. We're talking about a Sefer Torah, things of that sort. The Gemara says the distinction between the two, as you know, is that Tashmisha Kedusha, the din is nignozin, that once you no longer use them, they have to be put into Geniza. And Tashmisha Mitzvah, the halacha is that nizrokin, you can actually simply discard them, cast them away. Again, the Pesukim point out it has to be done b'tzura mechubedes, in a bakovdik kind of way. You can't just simply throw them out in a way which would be repugnant, but obviously has to be done in a honorable kind of fashion. However, the main distinction between them is that one inherently has Kedusha, the other does not. That's why one is Nizrokin and one is Dignozin. So the Rav used to point out that that's the distinction between a Jew and a Goy, that a Jew is considered to be Tashmisha Kedusha. Why is it? Because we're obligated in Tayag Mitzvahs. And since we're obligated in 630 Mitzvahs, so inherently our body becomes that of a, is likened to a Sefer Torah. You have many, many Gemaras all over Shas, and you have Midrash and Chazal that indicate that the body of a Jew is likened to a Sefer Torah, and therefore the din is that a Jew has to be buried al pi halacha. Tashmisha Kedusha Nignozin requires Geniza, or Kavura, if you will. Mashenken, there's no mitzvah Kavura by a Goy. The Gemara in Sanhedrin discusses what exactly the nature of the mitzvah Kavura is. But a Goy is not obligated to Kavura. This is Ramban Chumash. Ramban writes in Dvarim, the Torah speaks about kiyeb ish chet mishpat mavis humas v'salisa sal eitz. If a person commits a chet where he's chayim misa, so you have to hang him. Then it says l'sal neblas sal eitz. However, you cannot let the nevela remain on the tree. Ki kavetik brenu bayomahu. He has to be buried the same day. Ki killas elokim toli. There's a very famous Rashi over there. Rashi points out, Tzelem Elokim, we're talking about a non-Jew is also created with Tzelem Elokim. So therefore, to have a Tzelem Elokim tolui, hung, in this kind of a fashion is not considered to be appropriate, not proper. And then the Pasuk says, after it mentions, Kikilas Elokim tolui, V'lo sitamei sad moscha, asher Hashem lokecha, no sin lecha nachala. When Allah did mitamei, ad moscha refers to Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban there, on the spot, the Ramban comments, that even though there's no mitzvah kvura that applies to a non-Jew, to a guy, however, in Eretz Yisrael, there's a mitzvah kvura. Why? Because of the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban writes, but there is no din of kvura to a guy because a guy's tashmisha mitzvah is only obligated to share mitzvah b'nei noach and not tashmisha kedusha. Anyway, that's the distinction between a Jew and a guy. So here, the Radak, in his comment on this pasuk, he says the following. He writes that here you have two psukim, and he tells you, limos ha-mashiach, kol ha-amim yu l'shnei avarim, levad Yisrael. Means they have a clear division between the Umas HaOlam and Klal Yisrael. They're obligated in Sheva Mitzvahs, we're obligated in Tariq Mitzvahs. However, now, the Umas HaMashiach, what's going to happen? Means that's, of course, the ultimate ideal. The ideal being that the entire world will come to a Hakara of the greatness of Hashem Yisbarach, will acknowledge His oneness, will acknowledge His greatness, and therefore, at that point in time, they will join forces, they'll merge with Klal Yisrael in terms of the Hodah. We already mentioned many, many times, the Ramban writes throughout his parashah HaTorah, that what is, he mentioned the end of Parshas Bo, just the end of last week's parashah, the Ramban writes that what exactly is the function of a person who is created by Hashem Yisbarach? The function is to say, Shevach V'odah, to praise Hashem, and to acknowledge Brio Secha Anachta, we are your created beings. That's our function, that's our mandate. But this mandate is only fulfilled by whom? By Klal Yisrael. And the ultimate hope is that the mandate will be fulfilled by the entire world. There will be a universal recognition of Hashem Yisbarach. That's exactly what's embedded in this particular pasuk, says Radak over here. V'kulam yehaluka, ki kulam yodu ba'oz. They all come to this recognition. They all acknowledge Hashem. And he refers to a pasuk in Tzvanya. I think it's in Perek Gimel, where the Navi says, Liko kulam Hashem Hashem lo'ad v'oshchem echad. And the Radak continues, he says, U'lefisha amar, since it says, B'tachas ha-mizmor ha-luka. The whole idea of the mizmor is that in effect we should praise Hashem. Notice the mizmor begins with hallelujah and ends with hallelujah. Therefore the Radak says, Rav Ruach HaKodesh, ki kol umos yahaluka adayin, v'yama kineged kulam, halos Hashem kol goyim, shalchul kol umim. So the way Radak understands the pasuk is referring to ikvus of the Mashiach, the Zman HaMashiach, and then we're going to have a merging of all the different elements, namely Klal Yisrael together, umos ha-olam, will come to the praise of Hashem Yisbarach. That's how the Radak understands this passage.
According to Radak, are the non-Jewish, are they
going to be chayim
in
613?
It's also
Mashiach. He doesn't discuss that. No. So doesn't discuss that. Yeah, but that would be, again, we're not assuming necessarily that the Umas HaOlam are going to be transformed into Jews. That's not the understanding, certainly, of what's going to be Lasid Lava. We don't necessarily assume that. There is a Machlokes Rambam Ramban, a famous argument. Ramban discussing the Chukosai and the Ramban discussing the Melachim, where there's going to be a transformation of nature, namely what the pasuk says in Shayo, "V'gor zev and keves v'namer and gedi yirbots." Does that mean that there actually will be a point where literally namer with a gedi, that obviously our foes, our enemies, our antagonists, one to the other, is their nature going to change, that they'll be able now to, shall we say, live with each other in a bi'ava, bi'achva, v'shol, v'reyus? No, that's not the intention of the pasuk. The intention of the pasuk simply is the way the Rambam interprets many, many times in Pirshei Mishnayos, what the Gemara says, Ein ben olam hazeh, v'asam Mashiach, eloshim b'malchus bilvad. The only distinction is that nations of the world that heretofore were attacking Klal Yisrael and were, shall we say, constantly involved in internecine quarrels and friction and divisiveness and what have you, that's going to end. It's going to be peace. There'll be halikon days. And everyone will be able to live with each other and coexist. But not that there's going to be a transformation of nature. That's not going to happen. But no one assumes that every guy is going to become a Jew. What they will do is they will come to a recognition of Hashem Yisbarach that doesn't exist at this point in time, at this juncture. Matter of fact, all of Tanakh is devoted to that, and probably most of the Sefer Tehillim constantly underscores that Nakuda. That right now, they don't recognize Hashem. We are the ones who recognize Hashem. Matter of fact, I mentioned many times that Aleinu is divided into two. the two segments. The first part of Aleinu is that we recognize Hashem. Aleinu l'shabeh l'adon hakol, shelo asonu k'goyeh ha'aratzos, lo samonu k'mishpachos ha'adoma. She'ein mishtachavim l'hev v'abrik, v'anachnu, and we are davening to whom? So you see the contrast there between the Goyim and the Jews, and the entire first paragraph underscores and accentuates the fact that we acknowledge Hashem. Correct? However, that ultimate hope is that we want all the anyone, any human being to come and recognize Hashem. I pointed out to you the key word there is which word? The word kol. And that's why we say, at that point, Hashem will come to the recognition of Hashem Echad Shmoach. That's what Radak is saying here. Radak is, in effect, indicating that this mizmor is telegraphing in a futuristic kind of way what will be the ultimate situation where the entire world will come to recognize Hashem.
So the nations of the world that do give hold to Hashem right now, there's no difference to, according to Radak, than when Shia comes, because they give hold to Hashem now.
Yeah, but obviously the Hodah is clearly not of a... No, the Hodah is not of a fulsome and total nature. The Hodah is of a truncated nature. It's a partial Hodah, it's not a complete Hodah. That's exactly his point. That's the point of the entire Tanakh. That the idea is to bring the entire world to the absolute and total recognition of Hashem as Barach. And that's lacking at this point in time. I'm not saying there aren't individual goyim. You have individual goyim who are chassidim usa'olam, but they're only individuals. Here we're talking about the entire globus will come to recognize Hashem as Barach in all of His glory and splendor. That's exactly the point of the Radak. And that's the idea that is, according to the Radak, embedded in this particular mizmor, Halos Hashem, kol goyim, shabchu, kol ha'umim. Again, I want to stress the kol, if you don't mind. Namely, that it's similar to Aleinu, that there expresses the idea you may have some goyim who right now, at this point in time, also acknowledge Hashem, but here we want a total universal recognition. It should be ubiquitous. That's the idea of kol that's mentioned over here. Kol goyim, shabchu, kol ha'umim. Okay? I just want to continue in the Radak, because the second part is the part really that I would like to discuss, and that is what the Davar HaMelech says here, ki gavar Aleinu chazdo. I told you there are mefarshim on the Tanakh here in Kuf Yud Zayin that understand Aleinu, ki gavar Aleinu chazdo is referring to not only Klal Yisrael, you interpret it simply as referring to Klal Yisrael. That seems to be the probably the predominant position among the Parshani HaMikra. Aleinu refers to Klal Yisrael. It seems to be the simple pshat. But there are even Parshani HaMikra who say no. Aleinu includes Goyim as well. So if you include Goyim in Aleinu, then of course you can understand why the Goyim are saying Hallel while they're saying Sheva to Hashem Yisbarach. But the real thing, according to Moshe Rishonim, the simple pshat as you understood it, and I think that's how Moshe Rishonim understand it, we're talking about Klal Yisrael. Ki gavar Aleinu chazdo. And I'll read you the Radak again. The Radak says, ki gavar Aleinu chazdo. Bezeh yesh lochem lahalalo ulishavcho. Shelagavar Aleinu chazdo. Look how the Radak interprets. He understands it referring to whom? To Klal Yisrael. So why are they saying Shvachim? Why are they? What is their yichus to saying Shevach to Hashem is Barach? Says the Radak, Ad shehutziyanu mitachas yedechem, shelo hayisem ma'aminim sheyuchal yozeh, lo ha'galoseinu, v'yatahodu, v'imru kuchem, v'emes Hashem li'olam ha'luka. The Radak says. The Radak interprets this in a very strikingly, I would say, unique, distinctive way. Namely, that they're obligated to say Hallel and Shevach. Why? Shegavar aleinu chazdo, because the Goyim never thought it would be possible for a Jew to become totally autonomous, independent, and no longer under their thumb. They didn't believe it was possible. I mean, they're the ones who have obviously conspired to constantly, essentially, defrock us and dethrone us and dehumanize us and delegitimize us. That's the intent of the, essentially, what Goyim are up to. That's their entire mandate. And what has happened? The reverse has happened. We have become free and independent. Ki gavar aleinu chazdo. Of course, the chazdei Hashem, that's what caused it. They didn't believe it was possible. And that's why they have to say Hallel v'Shevach. A very unique kind of pshat that there's a very famous, the Briskolov actually has a comment, it's Bereshit HaTorah. He writes on the, and this really is something that they can appreciate perhaps more than anybody else, Utsu Eitzah V'Sufa, Dabu Dabu V'Yokum. I was in one shul, Rav Abishem, a striking thing. The Rav there, Rav Mlinowitz, He writes for Otzkol. It's a general letter to Otzkol. It's a shul that's called Beis Tfila. So that shul, I came there once, as a number of years ago. I really davened there. And they said Aleinu, and I expected them to say Kaddish. No, they don't say Kaddish. They say out loud, Utsa Eisa Vesufa. The only shul I ever encountered that people actually say that paragraph right after Aleinu. And he's makbid that they say it, and then they say Kaddish after Utsa Eisa Vesufa. So I asked him, my hi, what's the nature of this? Of course, every shul has its own, shall we say, mishigasin, or its own unique elements. And he somehow told me that he felt that this was a piece of the tefillah that was abandoned, ignored, so he had to, shall we say, become part of Hatzalah. And he had to save this particular piece. Okay, that was, but this piece is a beautiful piece. It means that the goyim are involved in all kinds of eitzes designed to what? To basically undermine us and to destroy us. That's what they spend their days doing. I mean, we don't need too many riots. You live in the Middle East, which you do right now, at least temporarily, so hopefully Yetz Hashem on a permanent basis. So we're surrounded by these type of people. They spend all their days trying to see what exactly they're going to come up with to destroy us, to undermine us. So Utsu Eitza and Bisufar. So the question is, who knows better than all these people what they're doing? They're the ones who are experts. That's what Itzel Petersburg, that's what Biskolov quotes this of Itzel Petersburg. Itzel Petersburg said, that's the pshat over here. Halus Hashem kol goyim shavchu kol umin ki gavra aleinu chazdo. Who better than they know exactly what goes on in their coteries and secret cabals and societies where they're working out all kinds of devious plans and stratagems to destroy us and undermine us? So therefore, if anyone should say Shevach, it's they, not for the goyim, because they're the ones who realize, look what's happened. Look what Hashem's Baruch has done. He has really wreaked havoc in their plans. Their plans have been foiled, their plans have been subverted, the plans have been aborted. All that Hashem's Baruch has done. Therefore, they're the ones who should be saying Shevach. That's how the Rav Itzel Petersburg interprets. But the Radak has a different interpretation. Obviously, he doesn't understand it that way. He understands it that they never thought that we would not be under their thumb. And therefore, now that we are under their thumb, so the Radak says, obviously, they're obligated to recognize Emes Hashem li'olam ha'luka. Clearly, Hashem is Emes, and clearly that he has taken us out of Golos. And he quotes, actually, however, now, this is what I'm interested in, the Gemara something, and this is the Gemara that you have in front of you that I'd like to discuss. This is a very famous Gemara, and a Gemara that you should be, I assume you are probably familiar with this Gemara. I can't imagine you're not familiar with this Gemara. This is probably one of the most famous Gemaras in Shas. People who learn Avim Sokhim, somehow, I think they generally tend to learn this Gemara, and I just want to read one section of it. Gemara is a Darash Rava. First, the Gemara actually is talking about, you see where I put the brackets. Darash Rava, you have here the following comment. Darash Rava, my Ditziv, the Gemara quotes a Pasuk. It says, Ahati ki ishma Hashem, this is referring to the previous parak, Kuf Te Zayin. We actually had discussed this parak, but I'm just mentioning it just to get into this piece of Gemara. It says, Ahati ki ishma Hashem, Omrog, Knesset Yisrael, Ribbono Shel Olam, Emes Ani Ahuv L'Tvarecha, is one of my beloved to you, Bizman, Shetishma Kol Tachanunoi. When you hear my Tachanunim, if you recall, we discussed this actually, that Mizmor as well. We pointed out that the Mechayiv of Tfila is Tzara, and the epicenter of Tfila is Bakosha, is Tachanunim. We ask Hashem for Tachanunim. We mentioned the Machlokes between the Chachmei Aniglu and the Chachmei Anistar. Which segment of Tfila is considered to be the most significant? So according to the Chachmei Anistar, it's Shevach. They say that the area which is praise, that's the most significant part of tefillah. Chachmei Aniglu say no, the most significant part of tefillah is bakasha. Why? Because what happens when a person is a mevakesh? You show you are dependent on Hashem is Baruch. You are kafuf to Hashem is Baruch. And that's exactly what tefillah is all about. The whole idea of tefillah is to show that dependence on Hashem is Baruch. We are not independent, and we don't have, shall we say, the ability to operate on our own. Anyway, the Gemara says, okay, so now let's read the Gemara here. The Gemara says, I'm just reading a bit further. Okay, that's not the part I'm interested in. I'm interested now in the next section. Omer Rav Kahana, Shechola Bishma Rabbi Yosi, when he became ill, Shalach Rabbi, Emor Lanu Shtayim Shal Shedvarim, Shamat Lanu Mishum Avicha. When Bishma Rabbi Yosi got sick, so Rabbi said, tell us two or three things that you heard from your father. By the way, what's the connection between Shechola and tell us several things you heard from your father? What is exactly the... So Rashbam here has a comment on this. And Rashbam says that he The Gemara says a number of times in Shas that Rebbe sent to Rabbi Shmuel, apparently he became sick, he became ill, and maybe he became ill on a number of occasions, and each time he sent him, shall we say, Shtikl Teira. Or it was at one time, and the Chazal put it all together. I saw someone explain, actually, there would be a schus. Maybe a schus to have a refu shleima to say, oh, Dibre Torah from your father. Okay, that's a separate problem. The Gemara says, what exactly are we talking about? What does he tell them? Shalakol kachal ma'aba, my dechsid. And he quotes his pasuk. And you have to, this Gemara is unbelievable, this piece of Gemara that I want to translate. The Gemara says, Halu is Hashem kol goyim. Means the goyim should praise Hashem. Yes, the Gemara, Uma sa'ilam avyadatayu. The simple pshat in the Gemara is, why are they, in effect, involved over here? Why are they achsonim? Why are they saying shevach? Look at Rashi, or the Rashbam again, Uma sa'ilam avyadatayu to the left. Who should be saying Shevach? Klal Yisrael, not the Umas HaOlam. We're the ones who are the recipient of the benefaction of Hashem Yisbarach. Correct? We are the ones who receive His beneficence, not the Umas HaOlam. Why are they saying Shevach? That's how the Rashbam learns the Kasha of the Gemara. So the Gemara answers, Hachi Kama, Halu Es Hashem Kol Goyim, Agvuros V'Niflos Di'avi Ba'adayu, that they should say Hallel. Why? Agvuros v'niflos the avi ba'adayu. And the gvuros v'niflos that Hashem does, ba'adayu. Look at the Rashbam. Agvuros v'niflos the chazinon she'asa ba'olam. They are witness to what? To all kinds of gvuros v'niflos that Hashem Yisbarach does in the world. The kol shkeinonu. The Rashbam adds, a fortiori, kal v'chaymer, we means kal Yisrael, ki gavar aleinu chazda yesim kaluma v'lasha. So back in the Gemara says that they are obligated to say Hallel to Hashem because of the gurus and the flaws Hashem does in the world. And then the Rashbam adds, based on the Gemara, Kol Shkeinon and the Gavar Aleinu Chazdo. So the Rashbam comments here. So what's the pshat of this Gemara? What exactly is the Gemara saying? So I heard from Rav Soloveitchik a number of times, and he said it over the name of his uncle, the name of the Briskov, the name of Avel Soloveitchik, an unbelievable pshat of this Gemara, which I think is really the pashat pshat, especially if you read the Rashbam here, the Rashbam is pretty clear. Namely, the question of the Gemara was that Maya Bidatayu, why are they obligated to say Shevach? And the answer is they are two mechayvim of Shevach and Hallel. This is a classic brisk dialectic and classic. I think it's so explicit in the Gemara, it's just uncanny. Namely, there are two types of Shevachim or Hallel, if you will, that one is obligated to say. The first, of course, is represented by the famous Mishnah, namely the Mishnah we are familiar with. It's also Gemara Menachas and Gemara Brachas, namely. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says that there are four people who are obligated to say Shalach Vodat Hashem is Baruch. And the reason is because they themselves were the recipients of great chesed. They were in danger. The way the acronym goes, I assume you're familiar with the acronym, V'chol HaChayim Yedu Chaselah. What does that stand for? Chelosh in Esrapim, Chavosh Bebeis HaAsurim, the third is Midbar, the fourth is Yam. All these four people were in danger, described in the Perek of Tehillim. Very beautiful parak in Tehillim that describes these four situations. We once spoke about it. Whatever the case is, so one obligation to say Shevach is the person himself is the recipient of Chesed. He was in danger. That's why the bracha that a person makes is Hagomel Chayavim Tov Shigmal Al Kol Tov. The way the Mefarshim explained that bracha, that Hashem is Baruch is Gomel Lechayavim. I was in danger. Why was I in danger? I deserve to be in danger because nothing happens in this world b'chdi. Nothing happens, shall we say, for naught. Everything has a reason. So I was basically, I was in a sakona because of my, shall we say, behavior, my wayward behavior, my actions that precipitated Hashem Yisbarach acting as He did. He put me in a state of sakona to warn me. Akad of Asura, and Hashem Yisbarach saved me. Hagomer lichayavim tovo shekmalani kol tov. So that's one mechayiv of Hallel. That a person mechayiv to say, Shevach v'odot, to thank Hashem for saving me, etc., etc. And the ikar Shevach is because of Kabbalah Satov. Because I'm the recipient of Hashem Yisbarach's grace, of His beneficence, of His kindness, of His chesed. That's one mechayiv of Shevach HaHallel. However, the second mechayiv, that's what the Gemara here is saying. The second mechayiv is what? That a bracha that's made, you have all the Mishnah at the end of the last parak in brachas, correct? The first Mishnah of the last parak speaks about what, all kinds of brachas that are made al gurasa shel olam. For example, brachas on lightning and thunder, shekoich gurasa mali olam, the brachas of my Rebbe Anisim Alper told me when he first came to America, he never saw a black person. The moment he saw a black person, he said the bracha, bracha Mishana Abrios. I forgot to ask him if he said the Mishana Malchus or not. But he said, bracha Mishana Abrios, he never saw a black fellow. came from Europe, never saw a black person. He said the bracha, Baruch Mishana Abrias. All the other brachas that I mentioned there, Baruch Hacham Arazin, the whole series of brachas that the Mishnah has over there, Masechus Brachas. So now back over here, so the Gemara is saying that there is a second Mechayev. What's the second Mechayev? Gvuros v'niflos. These are two separate Mechayevim. One is Gvuros v'niflos, Hashem is Baruch does in the world, and the other is a bracha that I myself am mechuyev to make because of Hakar Satov, because I have to recognize the chesed that I personally receive, Hashem is Baruch saved me from some menacing situation, from some peril, from some danger, from some lurking danger, whatever it may be, I'm mechuyev to go ahead and make that bracha. So now, if the gula of Klal Yisrael were to come about in a way that it would not be bedarf nisim v'niflos, so then the only time Klal Yisrael would be obligated to make a bracha, we were the recipients of some chesed, we were saved from some situation, then we're obligated to say, and the bracha would only be relating to whom to Klal Yisrael, no question about it. We are the ones who are on the receiving end of the Chazdei Hashem. We're the ones who were saved from Sakana. We're the ones who are to go ahead and make that bracha and recognize what Hashem has done. And the Umas HaOlam have no connection. However, we know full well that the ultimate geula is going to be patterned after what? It's a pasuk in Tanakh. Ki meitzeis chav eretz b'tzvayim ha'el in the flos. The pasuk says in Tanakh, the Navi says that Hashem's bracha is going to bring about the ultimate geula modeled after what event? It's yes b'tzvayim. Ki meitzeis chav eretz b'tzvayim, the way we left Mitzrayim, which how do we leave Mitzrayim? Through Eser Makos and all kinds of Nisim and Niflos and what have you. That's what Hashem's bracha is going to do in the geula asida, in the ultimate redemption that's going to take place. I know basically, what is Hashem Yisbarach going to do? He will perform nisim and niflos, overt miracles, similar to those that took place in Mitzrayim. So now back here in the Gemara, so the Gemara is saying the following. Let's just now read the Gemara again. The Gemara says, Halu is Hashem kol goyim, umus ha'olam avi l'tayu. Means the Gemara's assumption was that what has happened? That we have been the recipients of the Chazdei Hashem. If that's the case, ma keshel umus ha'olam. What connection do they have with, shall we say, the fact that we were recipients of the Shevach of Hashem Yisbarach? So why should they be involved? Why should they be going in? Why should they be saying Shevach v'halos Hashem Yisbarach? So what does the Gemara answer? No. The Gemara says, Halues Hashem kol goyim, agvuros v'niflos the Ovid ba'adayi, which means that they witnessed the unbelievable gvuros v'niflos that Hashem did in the world. They are witness to everything that Hashem Yisbarach did, and therefore that is a mechayev for them to go ahead and say Shevach v'halos Hashem Yisbarach. But then the Gemara says further. The Gemara continues and says, Kol shkei nonu, the Gabra aleinu chazdo. This is how Bris Golov interpreted this Gemara. Absolutely beautiful, wondrous interpretation. Namely, that there are two mechayvim. Our mechayv is basically a dual one. Why are we dually, shall we say, mechayv to say shach v'halah? Because not only were we the recipients of the Chazdei Hashem, we also witnessed it. And so the Gemara says, Halu es Hashem kol goyim, shabchu kol ha'umim, ki gabar aleinu chazdo. And the way the Gemara interprets it, they're mechuyev to say halal mitzad wad, mitzad the fact they witnessed gurus and niflos. But they themselves were not the recipients of this chesed, of the Kabbalah Satov, of the Chazdei Hashem. They just witnessed it. But we, Klal Yisrael, have a dual obligation to say shalach v'al to Hashem Yisbarach. Namely, based on the fact that we witnessed it, and also, we are the ones that we are the individuals who, shall we say, were the recipients of the Chazdei Hashem. That's how the Bris Golov interprets this Gemara. By the way, with this, Briskov, there are many, many psukim in Tanakh that can be interpreted very, very beautifully. I assume you're familiar with the, I don't have a sitter here, but it doesn't make a difference. But on Friday night, among the mizmorim of Shabbos that we say, we have actually a number of very fascinating mizmorim. Shir Hashem, Shir Chodosh, Kiniflos Sasa. Means Hashem is Barak performs all kinds of niflos. And the psukim continue, and they say that Hashem is Barak performs all these niflos in whose presence? In the presence of non-Jews. Goyim also are going to be witnessing the gvuros and niflos of Hashem is Barak. And it continues over there. Namely, that Zachar Chazdo Be'munosel Leveis Yisrael, we call the type Sukkim, Zachar Chazdo Be'munosel Leveis Yisrael, however, who are the ones who are the recipients of that chesed? We, call yourself. Zachar Chazdo Be'munosel Leveis Yisrael, however, so again, you see the same yesod. It's very dinim, and that's why Hariyul Hashem kol haaretz. They're also obligated to say shvachim to Hashem Yisbarach because they're the ones who witnessed the gvuros and the flaws of Hashem Yisbarach, and that's how the Bishkulav interprets the psukim over here based on this Gemara Psochim. Absolutely, I think beautiful interpretation of this. And that's basically what we're saying is the following. Halavas Hashem kol goyim, shabchu kol ha'umim. Why? Ki gavra aleinu chazda. But what does it mean? What do they have to do with this? And the answer is they have a lot to do with it. Why do they have a lot to do with it? Because we said that they witnessed the gvuras from the flaws of Hashem is Baruch. And therefore, they are mechayev mitzad the gvuras from the flaws, and we are mechayev dually, not only because of gvuras from the flaws, but also because we are the recipients of the chesed of Hashem is Baruch. Okay, that's one thing. Then there's another thing I wanted to show you, a very striking medrash shulchan aruch. I'm very into midrashim and tehillim. The medrash said the following. On these two psukim, the smallest parak in Tanakh, Shaul Rav Shimon ben Osha Avinu HaKadosh Yisov Vamalo, Ma'u Halos Hashem Kol Goyim, Mi'ein Kol HaGoyim, Mi'ein Kol HaUmin. Means what difference is in Goyim and in Umos or Umin? How would you distinguish between these two? If I were to ask you, obviously it refers to non-Jews, but Umos refers to what? What's the difference between Goyim and Umin? It's pretty obvious, no?
A larger country.
Which one is which?
Smaller,
so umim, from the word, you know, the way they call here, the United Nations, they call it shmum. That was Ben Gurion's apparently description of the United Nations. They've accomplished nothing. Is to say that they had one function, and their function was to establish the state of Israel. And ever since then, they've done nothing. That's no question. It's Lavita Shotera. They haven't done anything except to make our life miserable. That's what that guy, who's the head of the shmum right now? I forgot his name. Something like that. Moo something.
Can be moon,
whatever it is. Anyway, so that gentleman also is a thorn on our side. Now, right now they're pushing the Goldstone. I'm familiar with that inquiry. Okay, I don't get it to right now because it got me off the topic here. But a lot to say about that. I read good parts of it. I wouldn't have read it, but my Balabatim gave me the entire the entire piece. That's why I decided to look into it. But the Gemara says, the Medrash rather says, who are these people? Goyim and Umim. Generally refers to a nation, that's what Tzvi is pointing out. And the Goy is, the way the Goyim writes in Mishlei, Goy refers to Gviya, physiognomy. That's what Goyim. But Umim is a nation. So Goy is more individuals, that's what Tzvi is suggesting. Umim is more of a larger group, a block. Anyway, the Medrash says, Amalo kol Goyim elo sheshibdu es Yisrael. Kol Umim elo shelo shibdu es Yisrael. It's very nice to know there are some Goyim who are not Mishabidas. I don't know whom they are. I've yet to meet them. Maybe the United States is among those goyim. I think they're Meshabit also. I think we're Meshubit to them as much as we're Meshubit to anybody else, especially given the present president who is pursuing us like the Dickens. I saw someone show me 2 weeks ago, maybe it was a week ago. I don't read the papers really, but someone showed me in the papers that Obama, President Obama, acknowledged the fact that for 1 year, he's tried to bring peace. Ke'ilu, he's going to do what has been done in the last 100 years. He's going to do it, of course, with his charismatic charm, as I told you what I think of him. So that's all he has, I see, is token. He has no token and all charm. That's all about Borek. There's nothing there. That's what I see. Anyway, Bekitza, so Obama acknowledged that he doesn't understand how come he did not succeed. And somehow the Middle East seems to be a pretty thorny and difficult kind of a challenge for him, and he hasn't been able to somehow manage, or if you will, prevail. That's what they had in the front pages of the Jerusalem Post. That was a made the mixas ataina on the part of President Obama. Whatever the case is, there are going to Meshabi Klal Yisrael, those that are not Meshabi Klal Yisrael. So the Medrash goes on to say, Kol HaUmim refers to those that are not Meshabi Klal Yisrael. Omu Kol HaUmim, they say, Ma'im HaGoyim Sheshir Des Yisrael Mekalsam HaGadosh Baruch Hu, those that are Meshabi Klal Yisrael, now they are becoming the devotees of the Almighty and saying, Shavachet Hashem is Barach, Anu Shaloshi Badnu Memalach Kama Vekama. We were not Meshabi Klal Yisrael, certainly we should say, Shavachet Hashem is Barach, Yisrilu Omrim. They started saying, Halos Hashem Kol Goyim. Okay. Omri Yisrael, so now the Jews said, Ima Goyim Akalsim also, Anachnu Alach Kama Vekama. If they say Shavachim, so of course we certainly have to say Shavachet Hashem is Barach. It continues. Yisrilu Omrim, so Klal Yisrael started saying, Kigam, Alinu Chazdo. Amra Ha'aretz, so now the earth said, if Klal Yisrael is saying Shvachem Hashem is Barach, Anu, what are we going to do? V'emes Hashem Le'olam. And they began to testify, and it's a long medrash over here, Emes HaBrisha Kiyam Tami Avos, that the Brisa Hashem is Barach promised the Avos, Zachad is Bisi Yaakov, Avos Bisi Yitzchak, the Avos Bisi Avram, Eskar, Avos Eskar. Okay, it goes on and on and on. But whatever the case is, you see that the medrash indicates that it's sort of like a pyramidal structure over here. And if the Goyim, they're going to be ones who are going to say Shevach, then everyone else is going to have to follow suit and say Shvachim to Hashem Yisbarach. So here you have a universal kind of expression that's given to Hashem Yisbarach. Now there's another, yeah, the Megish, Megish Shochatov. That's the Megish on Tehillim, which I generally tend to look at when I study Sefer Tehillim. I just wanted to mention one more idea that's found over here, which is based on a very famous Chazal that I'm very fond of. It's actually, Rashi quotes it in the context of the Makos. There's a Chazal, the Gemara says in Yevamos, that Ein Puranus Bali Eilim El B'Shul Yisrael. I remember many years ago I came across that Gemara. I asked the Rebbe of mine, I was about 13, 14 years old. I asked the Rebbe, what does the word Vietnam have to do with Klal Yisrael? I just couldn't understand the Chazal. Ein Puranus Bali Eilim El B'Shul Yisrael. Puranus refers to any punishment or any war. The Gemara says, Ein Milchama Bali Eilim El B'Shul Yisrael. Every single war in the world is related to Klal Yisrael. So, my Rebbe said to me, this is a Rebbe I had when I was my 8th grade Rebbe, I think it was. Maybe I was 13. He said to me the following. Rav Shevchevsky, Zechut Tzadik Livracha. He was a Mira. He was a product of Shanghai. In fact, I didn't realize whom he was. We thought he was just a nice 8th grade Rebbe. He was a Goyim. And his Levaya, Rav Chaim Shulevitz, was masked with him. You know, when you're 8th grade, you're a silly Billy. Today, when you're in high school, you're silly billies. Even beyond high school, you're silly billies. Whatever the case, not you, Chas v'Shalom, present company excluded. But, you know, appreciate what you have. So he told me, in Yetz Hashem, when you grow up, you'll see the Chazal knew what they're talking about. That's what he told me. That's basically what he told me. And he explained to me, it's hard for you to connect the war in Vietnam to, shall we say, Klal Yisrael. But everything's connected to Klal Yisrael. And the older I got, the more I began to realize, I think the man knows what he's talking about. The whole world seems to be focused around Jews. It's amazing to me, the last 45 years of my life, you know, I perhaps, certainly years ago, I used to read the New York Times religiously. I was a big chassid of the New York Times, just to buy the Sunday Times, and read it the entire week. It takes at least a week to read it. Instead of learning Ramban al-Tera, so you're busy reading the New York Times. I didn't read all of it, just the sections that interest me. Primarily the News of the Week in Review, and a few other, the book review section, things of that sort. That's what interested me. Anyway, so today no one even knows how to read. So forget about people reading the New York Times. So, plus the paper leaves a lot to be desired in terms of what I understand. I haven't seen the paper in 25 years. But I noticed in the New York Times in those years, Israel was always on the front pages. It was amazing to me. A small little country somehow occupies enormous amount of the attention of the world. I would say the predominant attention of the world is devoted to Israel. So I began to understand, that's about what my Rebbe was talking about. Somehow the whole world seems to revolve around Klal Yisrael. Rashi quotes it, the beginning of his Perash Al HaTorah, Bereishis B'Shul Yisrael, Shenikru Bereishis, passing in Yirmiyahu HaNavi, he says, Kol Yisrael Hashem Bereishis Tuwaso, B'Shril HaTorah, Shenikru Bereishis, Torah is also called Bereishis. Ramban there, right at the beginning of his Perash Al HaTorah, explicates and expatiates on this centrality, central role of Klal Yisrael, and central role of the Torah. But the reason why I mention this is because the Gemara here in Yevamos indicates as well that any bracha that comes to this world comes about because of Klal Yisrael. Just like any peronis comes about because of Klal Yisrael, any bracha, it says that the Gemara in Yevamos Samach Gimel, V'nivruchu v'chol kol mishpachai sa'adoma, afilu mishpachai sa'adaras ba'adoma, emis bracha zel b'shul Yisrael. Even the Goyim, the nations of the world, their bracha comes about how? Through Klal Yisrael. Just like any peronis, b'adi olam, so I want to read here on this Gemara, I Xerox the Ein Yaakov, a parish of the one of the parish of the Ein Yaakov. He said the following: Ki kasher Yisrael yativu maaseim. When Klal Yisrael, when we begin to, shall we say, be on board the wagon of Hashem Yisbarach, oz gormi nachas ruach lefnei mishama vayolam. We give Hashem nachas. Vakadosh Baruch Hu berachem amashpia morid alamo kol mini brachos v'yeshua b'sheva achayim v'shalom v'chol tuv. And Hashem is brach then is going to provide us with, and provide the world actually with all kinds of shefa, brach, and chayim, and shalom, and kultur. And that's what the Gemara says. He says, Ein tova b'li olam b'shul Yisrael. When Klal Yisrael is on board, the gravy train, is that what you call it? On board the gravy train, I don't know what that means, but it's an expression I hear people use. What does that mean? You ever heard that expression?
I never heard that expression.
Okay, brach Hashem. I understand the maps in one term, but let's not get into it right now. And also the opposite, he says, so it could very well be, this is Chad, in this in this Kuf Yud Zayin as well. What are we saying over here? Halus Hashem kol goyim, shabchu kol ha'um, ki gabra aleinu chazdo. Why is Hashem is barach, shall we say, vouchsafing to us his chesed? The answer is because we are acting the way we should act. We are behaving properly. When we behave properly, what does Hashem is barach do? He is mischase with us. And we are goyim nachas ruach to him. And he's morid Hashem of chesed to Klal Yisrael. And as a result, what happens? The entire world benefits, not just Klal Yisrael, the entire world. And that's exactly why, in effect, is said over here, they are also being mishabech. Halos Hashem kol goyim shamchu kol umim. Ki gavar aleinu chazdo. They recognize that also. That their atzlacha comes the result of what? Of Klal Yisrael. It's an amazing thing. This is all part of what my Rebbe told me in 8th grade. The Hatzlacha comes because of Klal Yisrael. By the way, Lavin realized it. Lavin spent his days trying to make Yaakov's life miserable. All the years Yaakov was there. And then when Yaakov decides to leave, also Lavin tries to, shall we say, prevent that from happening. Because he understands that his Hatzlacha, his Bracha, his Mazel comes from, because of Yaakov Avinu. And so too, the Masa'olah recognized their Bracha Hatzlacha come because of Klal Yisrael. And that's what the is Meduk now in the Rashbam. The Rashbam here says in this Gemara Pesachim, Kol Shkeinonu, the Gavra Aleinu Chazdo, Yeseh Mikaluma V'Loshon. What's that Yeseh Mikaluma V'Loshon? What's the Rashbam meaning over here? Yeseh Mikaluma V'Loshon. The intention of the Rashbam is that they are saying Shevach because of the Chesed that they are Mekabel. Correct? And Mikol Uma V'Loshon, but the Chesed Hashem has brought us for us is much greater than any Chesed that they receive. And that's why they're also obligated to say, Shruach Mikilus and Hashem is brought. So here we have a small little parak of two psukim, with unbelievable lundus, unbelievable havana in this particular parak that really is a very, very fundamental and seminal parak regarding Hashem Yisbarach's relationship with Klal Yisrael. Okay.